Okay, this coming Erev Shabbos, we are going to have the opportunity to delve into Parshas Kisavo, which of course we're going to read this coming Shabbos, which also is the opportunity for us to go through the process of reading the Teichicha, the Brachos and Klalos, so that before Rosh Hashanah, so that we can achieve that which is called Techlashana v'kilalosea, and enter a good year, Habo'aleinu v'al kol Yisrael l'tova. We open up with the Parsha of Bikurim, and of course the mitzvah not only to bring the Bikurim, but also to make the declaration, the Mikra Bikurim. And we make the declaration, Higadeti Hayom, I have stated already to Hashem. Now when the one bringing the Bikurim comes, he makes a declaration that he's already spoken his words. Yet, until he begins with Arami Oved Avi, we don't find him saying anything. So what did he already say when he says, Higadeti, I've stated it already in the past tense. So Rav Kupelman Zatzal from Lucerne, the Roshiva of Lucerne, explained that sometimes actions speak louder than words. At the same time, not all words convey purposeful messages. And what's happening over here is that the one bringing the Bikurim declares that his actions indicate that he is complete in word and deed with his gratitude to Hashem, as shown by all of the steps that he's taking to get to the current point in his Bikurim adventure. Sometimes actions speak louder than words. Sometimes we're making our declaration. How? By showing where we're taking the first of our fruits. And so therefore, the Higadeti is a statement of, look what I'm doing, and so that you can pay attention. A similar idea, of course, can be found both in the Sephorno and the commentary of the Netziv. The Pasuk also says, V'anisa v'amarta, you respond and declare. And Rashi notes that the declaration needs to be made b'kol rum, out loud. Why? So the late Rav David Kronglass, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the former Mashgiach of Ner Yisrael, pointed out that people naturally cry out when they have needs. But when they want to express thanks, that tends to be expressed a little bit too quietly. And so therefore, to counter that, we make a declaration out loud. My friend Rav Akiva Mails, the wonderful Rav in Memphis, Tennessee, he would often add that we always reach out to people to daven on behalf of the sick, but we need to remember to also reach out to them to update them that there's a time to stop and offer thanks for the tefillos instead. Ramban makes this comment in Sefer Shmos in Perek Yud Gimel, where he says that the whole purpose in making shuls in the first place was to have the chance to publicly thank Hashem for all of his never-ending chesed, and that too is part of our processing in this context of the Mikra Bikurim. And we're told that as we do so, v'samachta b'chol hatov, that we should rejoice with all of the good of Hashem that Hashem gave us and our families. And Rav Nosson Tzvi Wachfogel, the Lakewood Mashgiach, used to say, use these psukim to introduce the manner that's ideal for a person to protect himself from becoming addicted to materialism. When a person realizes where he came from, and who charted his course of destiny, and why, and for what purpose, as he receives a gift, then a person doesn't forget the purpose of material gain, and to the contrary, uses it to sanctify the name of Hashem in the world. We need to understand that. It has to not be distant from us. It has to be something right in our midst. And then after the section known as Videi Meiser, where I happen to have heard a beautiful thought today from David Lichtenstein, the famous host of the Headlines program, who pointed out that Videi Meiser is a vidui, because while we make the declaration to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asisi Kechol Asher Tzivisani, we also need to recognize, I did what you told me to do, but I can always do more. And that is such a deep lesson in life on so many levels that it's worthy of repetition constantly and all the time. Torah goes ahead and then afterwards introduces us to the concept of these klalos. And we're told, Uvo alacha kol haklalos ha'ila v'tihi sigucha, that these curses will come onto us and catch us. And when the brachos are offered in the parasha, then the word for v'tihi sigucha, catching, is spelled without a vav. Only when the word is introduced in the context of the curses does it appear complete. And why is that so? So Reb Shapsi, echoing the famous Shach, the commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, he explains that had the brachos all been actualized at once, the man would be overwhelmed and not appreciate each and every one of the brachos. And so therefore man gets a bracha to not get each one at the same time as getting the other one, so that we can feel the full effect of each of the brachos. However, when it comes to the klalos, to the curses, they're coming all at the same time, might help some of them to cancel one another and to create a bubble from within which we can survive their torture. Rabbeinu Bechaya adds that the pasuk is written full in order to show that Hashem is with us there, even fully, even when we suffer. Rabbeinu Bechaya adds that the pasuk begins with the vav and ends with the chaf. Chaf and vav, the gematria is 26, which is a hint to the Shem Havaya. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to understand. But we need to understand, even when the klalos come and catch us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is imo anochi b'tzara, there to save the Am Yisrael in the process. And why did these klalos happen? So the Torah tells us, Tachas asher lo avadata es Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav meirov kol. We didn't serve Hashem through simcha and goodness, goodness of heart and abundance. The Torah doesn't want us to be opposed to life and the joy in it. In fact, it seems that a lack of simcha is a reason for galus. And so Rav Avi Ner, Shalita, explains that the Torah is highlighting a critical message about mitzvah observance and connection to life. Rav Avi Ner notes that it's not Hashem's will for us to do mitzvahs. Hashem wants us to live mitzvahs. And when mitzvah observance is an opportunity and not an obligation, we come to get the best out of life. And as an example, he describes the spouse who tells his or her spouse that he or she will give anything the spouse wants, but that he or she does so because that's my obligation in life. Now clearly, for the fulfilling of marital opportunity doesn't foster close connection or bond. It's not just that I'm doing it, but rather I'm doing it because I want to do for you. And that needs to be declared as well. Rather, when we try to connect to Hashem's way of wanting us to use His world, and we attempt to relate to it, we are in turn relating to Him as well, and that's the source of bracha and the end of all curse. Rav Tait Shalita regularly references the comments of Rav Moshe Feinstein in this regard. Rav Moshe noted that many of the religious ideological problems our generation faces came from the declaration from our forebearers that es shver tzayin yid, which often leads the next generation to walk away. If it's too hard, then why am I doing it? And Rav Moshe would say, you can't say that chas v'shalom. Instead, what our children need to understand is es is git tzayin yid. Rav Shachter Shlita often added to the general issue from the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Lulav that it's important to realize the chance we get closer to Hashem through doing mitzvos and not to simply doing them simply or by rote. Each opportunity is an opportunity of simcha. Each mitzvah gets a simcha, and we can get that if we stop and we pay attention. One of the towards the end of the klalos, we're told Veshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim Banios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return you in boats. And Rashi explains Anios refers to boats in captivity. Now, what's Rashi adding? And why doesn't he explain the boat concept when we first encounter the word in regard to the fact that Zvulun are those who travel in boats? And who cares how Hashem returns us to the slavery in Egypt, whether we go in a boat or we go walking? So Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal explained that the concept of a boat is confining. When you're tied to a boat against your will, your choices are limited, which allows the torture to commence earlier, the psychological torture, when the captive realizes that his choices are limited between death and slavery and captivity and torture. And frankly, the person, the slave, the captive, is not in control to do anything about it. And that is a curse in of itself. So Rashi says, Ba'anios means that you're already going to commence with the torture before the actual torture begins. And then the pasuk adds, "V'ismakartem la'avadim l'shvachos se'en kona," that you'll be sold into slaves and maidservants, and none will buy. And the Panovitcher Rav Zatzal, whose yahrzeit is coming this week, he noted that while there are words of consolation in return after the tochacha and vayikra, there are none over here. And the reason, says the Panovitcher Rav, was that the first tochacha was for the tzibur. This tochacha, this one's for the individual. There's no guarantee of salvation for the individual. The comfort is in the person's turn to be a part of the tzibur. And that, says the Panovitcher Rav, adds to the fact that nobody else wanted us to be absorbed into them. That'll make sure that we remain for eternity. But we can only remain for eternity when we do so as a nation. And unfortunately, we do find some individuals who can be splintered off and who can be purchased by other nations. And unfortunately, in our generation, that is some of the challenge of the intermarriage rate. And we need to overcome that. We have the ability to overcome that. We need to understand, though, the ability to overcome as a nation is really what holds us together. Be a part of it, says the Panovich Rav. Be a part of the nation of Am Yisrael, because the nation of Am Yisrael will endure. And that's what they, in the final installment of this week's section, I want to comment on one word in the Haftorah. The Yishayahu HaNavi declares, in this, the penultimate of the Shiva de Nechemta, that the Amich Kulam Tzadikim Liolam Yirshu Aretz, your nation are all Tzadikim, they shall inherit the land forever. And we recall this pasuk perhaps most famously from the introduction to Pirkei Avos, which we use as a proof text to the claim that all of Bnei Yisrael have a share in the world to come. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek liolam haba, shenema v'yamech kulam tzadikim liolam yirshu aretz. Rav Lau Shalita, the famous chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, the former chief rabbi of the land of Israel, commented that the land referenced here is not the land of Israel. V'yamech kulam tzadikim liolam yirshu aretz refers to the olam haba. And what the Mishnah is pointing out to us is that whoever puts himself as part of the nation in whatever way the nation is, merits a share in the world to come. Whoever you are, however you are. However, we need to remember that those chalakim are not always equal. Portion sizes and quality of land are dependent on how the person lives a life. And how does the person live their life and merits the reward at the end of that life? We have the ability to achieve great things. And we will get to that Yom Shekulo Shabbos when we get there as a member of Am Yisrael. And the stronger that we achieve, and the greater that our achievements come, the better our personal involvement is, and the better it stands for us as individuals. And thus, we use it as an introduction for Pirkei Avos, but also an introduction for the lessons of life that will come when we get to the point of a great Shabbat Shalom to all.